Hey Parkway, we just wrapped up a series in January called Theology for Life, and talking about how theology needs to be impacting our decisions, not something else. And you can fill in the blank for whatever you think that is in our culture right now of where people are putting their authority and their priority. But we are saying Colossians chapter 3, Jesus is life. Jesus is first. So as we transition now back to the book of Acts, I want to help remind us of where we've been. So Acts chapter 1 through Acts chapter 8, we've really seen how the gospel's gone from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to now begin to spread throughout the ends of the earth. And so today, you are going to hear a message from a really good pastor friend of mine named Larry Thompson, who pastors Beulah Baptist Church. And in his kindness, he agreed to preach. Now, here's the deal with Pastor Larry. Pastor Larry has a very at-risk wife when it comes to this COVID pandemic that we find ourselves in. So Pastor Larry agreed to preach, but he couldn't preach in person in a large group of people. So he's agreed to come and preach virtually. I've heard this message. You are in for a treat. He does such an excellent job of giving us the heartbeat of what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 11 for us, so that we see the importance of why. Not only is Jesus first, but that means that's got to inform how we approach our community, how we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and how we get over our individual preferences and our homogenous groups, so that we might be willing to go to anyone to share the love of Jesus Christ. So you are in for a treat to hear Pastor Larry Thompson, and I'm so thankful that he was willing to come this past Monday and pre-record this. But I would encourage you, whether you're an in-person person or you're a virtual person right now, don't check out, but listen to what he is saying, because this brother spoke to my heart. I was so thankful, and you're in for I know I've said a treat three times now, but you really are, to see and hear how the Holy Spirit's going to use him. So God bless you. Here's Pastor Larry.
Good morning. My brothers and sisters here at Parkway Baptist Church. I am on tiptoe anticipation of worshiping with you again. I want you to know that I have missed coming by. I've missed the personalities. I've missed the spirits. And I just want to thank Clay and Susan Watt, who continually keep in touch with my wife and I. Not that I want to overlook anybody else, but I just want to say, hey, Clay, hey, Susan, I pray all is well with you. I want to thank this morning my brother, my friend, Pastor Derek, for continually saying things into my spirit during this strange season that makes me feel good about myself. I pray that God would continue to give him the insight, give him the revelation for this season, for God's people. If you will, turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 11. And I believe that there is a word from God. Acts chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. I'll read verses 1, 2, and 3, and then I'll skip down to 17 and 18. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Acts chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. And it reads, "Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, 'You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them.' But Peter began and explained it to them in order." Amen. Let's go down to verse 17. It says, "If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard these things, they fell silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Parkway, if you're anything like Beulah, you have to have a title, a handle to carry with you. So the handle for this morning is, "You can't stand in the way of God." You can't stand in the way of God. Amen. In this particular chapter here in Acts 11, there are two scenarios, two events where God shows no partiality, no favoritism. Amen. Two scenarios where the message of Jesus Christ is shared with non-Jews, and they believed on the name of Jesus and they received life. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the whole chapter 11, because I don't want to get caught up in sharing a history lesson that most of you are already fully aware of. But I want you to know that one situation happened in Caesarea at the home of Cornelius the centurion. And the second was in the town of Antioch, where non-Jews, Gentiles as we call them, received the word of God. Amen. Let me focus on the area of where God is working undercover. Y'all didn't know God was 007, right? God is working undercover and behind the scenes to bring to pass his purpose in this world. Amen. And it's so awesome how he does it. Because first of all, as I reached back into chapter 10 to get some context for this particular piece, I discovered that God, first of all, went to Cornelius, who was a centurion. Amen. Now, how non-Jewish can you get? He was a Roman official. Amen. A Roman official put in charge of at least 100 men. But there was something peculiar about Cornelius. The text says that he was devout, meaning that he believed in God, one God. And you know from your studies that the Romans did not serve one God, they served many gods. But this gentleman, Cornelius, his heart was running after one God. And it had such an impact on his life until he was very benevolent. He gave alms. He gave whatever was needed to the people around him. And he had been praying to God for a better understanding. So here we see that God is contacting him through a vision to let him know that he was answering Cornelius's request. If I were at Beulah, I would say, can I get a witness? Amen. Amen. And at the same time that he was giving the vision to Cornelius, down in Joppa, he was working on Peter, of all people. And I'm just blown away by the characters that God has chosen to do his undercover work. You know the story with Cornelius, that he had a vision. He saw an angel, and the angel told him, send some men down to Joppa and get Peter, Simon, as the text says, who is Peter, who was at Simon the tanner's house, and bring him back here to Caesarea. Amen. It goes on to say that the next day, as the men were traveling, it looks like it took them maybe about 3 or 4 days to get to Joppa. Peter, at prayer time, at noon, went up on the roof of Simon the tanner's house, and he went to pray. And as he was praying, he went into a trance. Amen. And while in the trance, this awesome transition happened. He said, the text says that from heaven was lowered a large or a great sheet, and it came to earth, and on that sheet was every type of animal, every type of beast, every type of bird of the air. And there was a voice that spoke to Peter and said, Peter, get up, kill, and eat. Peter, being the good Jewish person that he was, said he rejected what God had said or what the voice that we know as God said. He said, you know, I've never put anything impure in my mouth. Amen. And we all know the story how God told him, don't call anything impure that I have made clean. Amen. My brothers and sisters, this awesome happening went on just before the entourage of three men that Cornelius sent arrived at the location where Peter was. When he came off the roof, there they were. And God told him, there are three men. Go with them. Don't reject them. He talked to them. They told him who they were, where they had come from, and the purpose of their coming. And it says eventually that Peter went with them. Now hang in here with me, Parkway, because you see, God is doing something for a powerful purpose that will change your life if you would allow it. Amen. So Peter goes with them and they go to Caesarea, and when they arrive, Cornelius is waiting for them, and while they were coming, he went and got his family members, his household, and it says his friends, so they could share in this awesome event that was going to take place at his house. When Peter arrived, he went in. You know the story of how Cornelius was so blown away that he bowed down before Peter, and Peter told him to come down, whoa, 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 whoa. Come on and get up. I'm just a man. Amen. He's not an angel. He's not a special divine envoy, but he's a man just like Cornelius. And they went on and discussed what was happening, why Peter was brought there. And brothers and sisters, good God Almighty, I was blessed to know that God had sent Peter to share the good news. Come on now. The good news, the message of Jesus Christ. Do you realize that the greatest gift God has given us is to be able to hear the message of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, that we call good news from the word gospel? This is good news because what we have been looking for, it is here in the good news of Jesus. Let me just segue a little bit. Let me drift just a little bit. We as people in this 21st century, we've been looking for peace. We've been looking for love and togetherness. We've been looking for the truth that we can have peace with God, peace with our brothers, and more importantly, peace with ourselves. But I stopped by to tell you on this virtual peace here is that you're not going to find it anywhere except in the message of Jesus Christ. It's not in the government. It's not in politicians. And don't get me wrong, thank God for being in a democratic society where we have life as well as we have it. But I want to let you know that this is my 13th presidential administration going into office in my lifetime. 13th! And still, we're dealing with the same problems, the same challenges. And every man that puts his hand on the Bible and holds up his hand and says before God that I will carry out the duties of the President of the United States, they're only saying that out of pomp and circumstance, not because of their ability to make a difference. We swing like a pendulum, all the way to the left. Then the next time we swing like a pendulum to the right. And all it has done is divided us as a country. Now, as I said to Beulah, we are yet to see the United States of America. Amen. We're still waiting on it. I don't know about you, but after 13 presidential administrations, I'm still standing and waiting to see the yet-to-be United States of America. Hallelujah. So what I'm telling you is that the answer is in the message of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This morning. So I want you to notice that Peter, when he shared with Cornelius, his household, his neighbors and friends, he shared three things that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel message is the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. When they say go and share and witness, we go to share the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus. And if we would believe on that, we shall be forgiven and receive everlasting life. Look at verse 36 in chapter 10, if you would. And I'm going to read it for you. It says, Peter says, you know, God sent the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all, to the people of Israel. Amen. Then he goes on to say in verse 37, you know what happened throughout Judea. He's talking about the life of Jesus, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit after the baptism that was preached by John and anointed him with power. You know how Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. That's the life, my brothers and sisters. And we are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. These things. Amen. He's talking about the life of Jesus. When you get in the situation, you'll be talking about how Jesus has changed your life, how you once were blind, but now you can see. You'll be able to share with them how Jesus has changed your life from anger to love. Good God Almighty. And then the second thing that we see is that of the death of Jesus. Peter goes on to say in verse 40, they killed him by hanging him on a cross. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, when you share with people about Jesus, you can't leave out the cross, because the cross was the instrument by which the price for our forgiveness of sin was paid. Without the cross, there is no redemption. Hallelujah. But here Peter is sharing the second part. Good God Almighty, the death. He did die. As the old preacher used to say down in Texas when I was a boy, he died. Didn't he die? And he would hear a response from the congregation. Yes, he did. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then the third part. Good God Almighty. I'm about to start shouting now. Hallelujah. The resurrection. Oh, good God Almighty. But God, Peter said to Cornelius and his people, but God, woo, Jesus, raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by the witnesses God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us, hallelujah, he commanded us, and that includes you and me, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. Hallelujah. The resurrection. It is the resurrection, good God Almighty, that blesses us so much, because with the resurrection, it shows that we can never be accused of our sins again. Can I get a witness this morning? Hallelujah. No double jeopardy here. You can't accuse me of the same crime twice, because Jesus has died and shed his blood on Calvary's cross and has been raised by the power of God. Hallelujah. And you know, the text tells us, good God Almighty, while Peter was sharing the good news, the message that Jesus Christ is the way to salvation, amen, and reconciliation to God, while Peter was still speaking these words, brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. Hallelujah. And when you see that, heard the message, not just listening, but the message found its way into their heart, to where their heart was changed. Yes, Lord, the Holy Spirit came on them. Praise the Lord. And that's very important. And the reason is this, is because for you and I in 2021, if we are not careful, we will become as arrogant and exclusive as these brothers and sisters that were in Jerusalem called the circumcision party. Let me help you out just for a moment. The circumcision party were Jews that had accepted and believed in Jesus. But they felt that in order for anybody else to be a part of the body of Christ, they first had to become Jews. They had to accept Judaism, be circumcised, and then they could be saved. But aren't you glad this morning that that is not the requirement, that if you believe on the name of Jesus, if you will confess with your mouth and that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, what does the text say? Thou shalt be saved. Somebody ought to be waving their hand right now. Aren't you glad that it's that simple? Praise the Lord that we don't have to become perfect. But back to my point is that we have to be careful that we don't think us in our piety can determine who can and who cannot be saved. Come on now. You know I'm right about it. I told Beulah, I said, just because you don't like somebody, just because you don't understand somebody, just because you're a different color from a different culture, eating collard greens, prepared a different way, does not mean that they cannot be saved. Thank you, Lord, for this incident to let us know that we cannot stand in your way, because it is your desire that every man be saved. Do I have to take you back to John 3:16? Somebody help me this morning. For God so loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter who your mama and your daddy is. It doesn't matter whether you've been educated or not. It does not matter if you've been in the church one day or 1,001 days. Amen. We do not have the right, even though we can be audacious at times. I'm not going to deal with him, or I'm not going to deal with her, simply because there are differences in us, in our lifestyles. But I'm so glad that in this pandemic, God has put us all in the same boat without a paddle. Can I get a witness this morning? We are all in the same boat now. So we have no excuse to exclude anybody. Praise the Lord. And I'm so glad, as I hurry to a close, that when Peter left Caesarea and went up to Jerusalem, he went to those that were in charge, the mother church, if you will, there in Jerusalem, and shared with them what had happened. But I noticed that in the text, it said they were already aware. They had already heard about it. Somebody ran and told them what had happened at Caesarea. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't send spies along with Peter. I don't know, but they knew by the time Peter got back. But Peter went to them who were the authorities at that time, and he shared with them why he did what he did. He told them about the sheep. He told them that God blessed him with the understanding to know that no one needed to be excluded. So in this 21st century, brothers and sisters, I'm going to ask you to look within your own heart. I'm not going to try to play any mind games with such intelligent people to try to make you feel guilty or anything. But I want you to look in your own heart and see what biases, what prejudices that you have in your heart, not only for people of other colors and other races, but even in your own household. Hallelujah. We're divided in our homes. We're divided in our neighborhoods. We're divided in our counties. We are divided in our commonwealth. We are divided in our country simply because of biases and prejudices and things we've been told over the years that don't hold water with God. Hallelujah. Amen. I told the church, I said, look, I don't want to have to stand at that gate, heaven's gate, and explain to God why I did not turn away from myself, my prejudices, my biases about people in general, just not color, just not gender, but we've divided ourselves even over something as simple as wearing or not wearing masks to help us get through this pandemic. Amen. I don't want to stand before God and tell him, well, my heart didn't change because of what happened when I was a boy. And I'm going to tell you, don't let what happened to you in the past keep you from doing what God wants you to do now as we move ahead. What did Paul say? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching and straining for those things that are yet before us. Hallelujah. And I like it when Peter told them about what had happened, how the Holy Spirit had fell on Cornelius and his household. They didn't even have anything to say. They fell silent. God snatched their complaints right out of their mouth. Hallelujah. Only thing they can say was the fact that then God has given the Holy Spirit an eternal life, even to the Gentile. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, as I close, let me share with you this thought. I encourage you, my born again brothers and sisters, we have not been given the task to determine who can and cannot hear the word of God, the message of Jesus Christ, repent and be saved. I encourage you to surrender to the voice of the Holy Spirit as he moves you to share the message of Jesus with those that are inside and outside your circle of responsibility. And when we all gather around the throne of God, we will be amazed at who will be standing among us. Hallelujah. And at that time, and prayerfully we won't be saying, look, there's so-and-so. What are they doing here? Look, there's so-and-so. What are they doing here? But we'll be able to praise the Lamb of God together. We'll be able to lift our hands and praise the Lamb. Holy, holy, holy. Woo. You're going to be surprised that your minuscule effort made a difference in someone's life. Willie the wino, Donnie the drug addict, all of them that you just stopped long enough, put away your biases, and shared with them the message, the good news of Jesus Christ. And they were able to repent and receive eternal life. Let us pray. Eternal God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you have blessed us to come this far by faith. Thank you for the situations that we are now in. It's helping us to see that we are no different than anyone else. We're born, we live, and we die. We've all been given the same opportunity to attain eternal life. Lord, fill us with your spirit. Empower us as we leave this place today to take time to give up, to surrender our way for God's way, that we may bring to pass God's desire that none should perish, but everyone should be able to hear the message, have an opportunity to repent and be saved. Give power to this congregation that has shown you, Lord, they are open to doing your will. And let them know that their little bit does make a difference. And Father, we'll be sure to give you all the praise and all the glory out of our lives. For it is in the precious and powerful and uniting name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Peace be unto you is my prayer.
Amen. Well, would you stand up with us as we respond and surrender?